Hello and welcome back to another KFC Supercoach AFL Pocket Pod with me, Al Payton, and Tim Mitchell is here. Now, I see the next player on our run sheet is Patrick Cripps. So I'm not sure, are we talking about Supercoach today, Tim, or we just want to talk about how much we love Cripper?
Can we just reflect on the Brownlow medal for a couple of minutes, Al? That would be my pick. He's flying under the radar a bit, isn't he? Brownlow medal season, priced at 610K, which isn't sort of like the absolute top echelon of premium midfielders this year. Like, you can almost save 100K if you went Patrick Cripps over Rory Laird. But there are reasons for that discrepancy between those two, aren't there? Like, we know that there were times last year where Patrick Cripps frustrated KFC super coaches because we know he loves the handball as opposed to kicking. And yeah, he can gain 15 or 20 metres from his handballs, but that doesn't do us much good because elite kicks are what score the most points in KFC.
We need him to bring in a stat for an effective long handball.
That would be handy, wouldn't it? That would put Patrick Cripps probably into the 130s or 140s if we went that. But he scored 13 tonnes last year, high of 162. So he's got a massive ceiling. Yep. He was back kicking goals last year as well, which no doubt was what attracted a few extra Brownlow votes as well. But again, the thing that sticks out for me, Al, is sort of his kicking efficiency can be an issue in different games, which is why he didn't average as much as sort of Clayton Oliver, Rory Laird or Tuke Miller, even though he wins probably just as much contested ball as those guys. He averaged 17 handballs as well a game compared to sort of 11 kicks a game, which is a big difference between sort of maybe averaging 120 or 125 as opposed to maybe your super coach scoring being capped at an average of about 115.
So he had a bit of an odd year last year. Like, he was obviously an awesome pick to start the year and undervalued, and people who picked him to start, you know, was a huge win. And he flew out of the blocks and averaged about 130 over the first six or seven games, apart from he had that one match where he did a hammy early and was subbed out. Yep. So, and I mean, if you take that out, that means, you know, maybe he's a tad underpriced this year. But then he had I was going back through the numbers and I just couldn't really put my finger on. There was a stretch in the back end of the season where he went 5 or 6 weeks without scoring 100. There was a lot of sort of 80s. Yeah. And I don't really know what happened there, because then he got going again for the last 4 or 5 games and he was back in the 120s. So, I mean, if he can do that for a full year, he'll be in the top eight conversation for the mids for sure. And I think the attraction to picking him, and he has been in my midfield at different times this preseason, is you're hoping you can get one of those big starts out of him again. Yep. And get a bit of a jump on the rest of the competition. And the fact that Sam Walsh is not going to be there, does he have a bit more responsibility? I think it's there. And the Blues draw is not bad to start with. We know he loves playing the Tigers in the first game of the season. Richmond doesn't tag. And then I don't think the Carlton draw is too bad after that. So I think there's some good reasons you could pick him.
Yeah.
And as you say, a pod.
Definitely. So 12% of teams as we record this. His best average, though, against his first four opponents all over his career is only 103. So
oh, really?
I don't love that. Mm-hmm. I thought it would have been higher against Richmond as well, but going back through some of the numbers, I know that takes in sort of his early career as well, when obviously he would have been scoring a few, but there's just a couple of question marks on how he goes without Sam Walsh there as well. In a couple of games where Walsh didn't play last year, he did score 120+, so that's encouraging. The pod factor is a big one as well, but I just think, especially because I'm trying to pay up and find the money for Rory Laird and Clayton Oliver, because you want to get those two guys into your team for as long as possible. Patrick Cripps is one I'm going to have to overlook and have a look at the start of the year.
And the other thing you mentioned with his goal kicking, which was it last year, didn't he kick like 17-1 or something at one stage? And, you know, he was kicking 2 or 3 goals a game early doors, and it's probably unsustainable. Like, you couldn't expect that to happen again, even if it just comes back to him kicking a goal a game and maybe he's sort of more 50-50 with his accuracy. That'll knock a point or two off his score. So, you know, you're trying to find tiny little nitpicky reasons to, you know, select one player over another, but there's so many good options in the midfield there. It's hard to do, and you have to, you know, decide who you're prepared to cross off the list. So it sounds like you're a no on Paddy Cripps. That's a big call.
Yeah, he's not a bad pick, but I can find reasons not to pick him, which I can't do for some of the other primo mids.
I've still got him as a maybe, but I've probably got a few ahead of him at this stage.